this the saddest portion of the Torah. The very saddest portion. Because we see in this one the 10 spies who didn't understand who they were, who didn't understand who Israel was, didn't understand what they could do because of their Heavenly Father being with them. 12 spies sent out, 10 of them came back with a bad report. We need to be of those 2 who came back with a good report and not the 10 who came back with the bad report. I'm a little out of order on my notes, excuse me. Come on. Your fingers are numb. They don't always do what they're supposed to do. There we go. Nope, that's not the one I want. No. Hold on. No, you didn't mess them up. And I was reviewing them earlier. Boy, it's a good thing I put numbers on the bottom of pages. Hey. There we go. I'm back. The tens reported that they would not be able to take the land. They kind of got it out of their own mind, though, didn't they? We see in Numbers 13 the report that these 10 spies gave. 13:33 says, "We also saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak are from Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, as well as theirs." They saw the people. They saw them as giants, and their self-esteem was crushed. They thought that there was no way they could fight against them. Now, they never asked these people, the Nephilims, "What do you think of us?" So they don't know that the Nephilim think of them as grasshoppers, but they saw themselves as grasshoppers and assumed that the other giants would see them as well that way. What they really were doing was comparing themselves to what they thought they saw in those other people. The problem was they didn't know who they were. That's why it's important to know who we are. There are going to be times that we find ourselves in situations that seem to be too big for us, where the tasks are above what we could do, over our skill level. We're not strong enough. The problem is not always that the situation's too big for us, but that we don't know what we can do because we don't know who we are. The truth is, we can only know who we are when we know whose we are. Of the 12 spies, there was only 2 that knew who they were. That would be Joshua and Caleb. They knew who they were. They knew whose they were, and therefore they would be able to do what they were told to do. Listen to what they told the people who were listening to the report of the land. Numbers 14, starting in 7. They said to the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, "The land through which we passed is an exceptionally good land. If Adonai is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land and he will give it to us. A land flowing with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against Adonai and don't be afraid of the people in the land. They will be food for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Don't fear." Don't fear them. These 2 spies, Joshua and Caleb, said that if Adonai was pleased with them, or if they had the right heart attitude, then they would find favor and he would give them that land, a land of milk and honey, if only they were aligned and not in rebellion. The 10 spies did not understand who they were. Couldn't understand what they could do. We need to be counted among them. When we know who we are in him, in Messiah Yeshua, with the Ruach HaKodesh within us, then we're to live like Rav Shaul speaks about in 2 Colossians. It's a long portion that I'm going to read. Starting in 2 Colossians 6. Therefore, as you received the Messiah as Lord, so continue to walk with him, rooted and built up with him, and established in your faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men and the basic principles of the world, rather than Messiah. For all the fullness of deity lives bodily in him, and in him you have been filled to fullness. He is the head over every ruler and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision done not by hand, in the stripping away of the body of the flesh through the circumcision of Messiah. You were buried along with him in immersion, through which you also were raised with him by trusting in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with him. Then he pardoned all of our transgressions. He wiped out the handwritten record of debts with the decrees against us, which was hostile to us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross. After disarming the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in this cross. There are 10 points there in those 10 verses which I want to touch on. Each is a way to know who we are and who we should be when we're assured in our spirit that we are his. Each one tells us how we should act because we're assured that we are his. Each one instructs us how to live because we are his. Now, the first one is that we are to be rooted and built up in him. That means that we're to count ourselves as one of Adonai's, and therefore we're built up, we're strengthened in him. Isaiah tells us about who we are when we're in him. Isaiah 40, starting in 29. He gives strength to the weary, and to one without vigor, he adds might. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they who wait on Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We are not told that we will be, but that we are already built up and will be renewed again, because he gives strength, which allows us to soar and not grow weary. But we need to constantly allow him, by the Ruach HaKodesh, to renew us, to build us up. It's not a one-time imparting, but we need to constantly go back to the well of our eternal water. Our roots need to be firmly planted in him. Many times at the end of the service, I'll say that I want to make myself available for prayer, for anointing with oil. Honestly, I don't know why there's not a line of people who want to be anointed every week. We should not be looking to be anointed just in times of trouble, but every opportunity. I love what I heard last week. Someone said to me when they came up, I don't want to make a request. I just want more of him. Yeah, we can go to him on our own. But when brothers and sisters come together in agreement, There's a multiplication of power and anointings. This comes by being rooted and planted in him, in his fertile ground. Now, the next is faithfulness. We should, thankfulness. The next is thankfulness. We should all know that when something's in Scripture, it's elevated from a suggestion, which many people read Scripture as, to a commandment, really. When we read in the Psalms, we're to see them as the desire not just of the psalmist's heart, but they should be our desires of our hearts as well. Psalm 95, 1, the first three verses. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to Adonai. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. For Adonai is a great God and a great king above all gods. Little g gods. He is great above all. Sing joyfully and give praise to our God, our great God, over all the kings of the world. That's what we want to do during praise and worship time. It's what we want to do at home. It's what we want to do in our hearts all the time. Look at the Scripture, including the Psalms, as commandments, and they are to be who we are. We are to become joyful and a person of thanksgiving. In all things, give thanks. And with the striving in our spirit to become thankful in all things. We're to have that heart attitude of joy and thanks regardless of our situations or the season that we're in. You know, for nothing else, be thankful in the full assurance that the season that you're in won't be for eternity, won't be forever. It's only a season. Looking through the lens of eternity, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of how long you've been going through it, it's still only a season. Our hearts only beat for a season. We may look forward to our lives being 100 years or more, but that's still only a season when you compare it to eternity. And the truth that we are to look forward towards is regardless of how bad the season that we're going through is, or regardless of how great the season is, the season that's coming is so much greater. Eternity is so much greater when we run the race according to Scripture. This is why we should be able and willing to shout out loud Psalm 106. Hallelujah! Praise Adonai, for he is good. His loving kindness endures forever. Each word of that sentence is true and good for us. Praise Adonai. He's good. His loving kindness is forever, which is chesed. Chesed is more than just love, more than just kindness, and more than just merciful. Chesed is a trait of Adonai that I don't believe any person ever did or will mirror in the fullness that is Adonai. Only he is fully chesed towards us. And for that, we should shout hallelujah each day. And it really should be each hour and each minute in our soul and in our spirit. We should be shouting praise to him all the time. Now, the next is fullness of deity. Messiah is fully God, and that he has sent the Ruach so that we would also be fully in him. Rav Shaul wrote to the Ephesians, and really to us as well, this from Ephesians 3, starting in 16. I pray that from his glorious riches, he would grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Ruach, so that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to grasp what with all the keshadim that it is that what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Messiah, which surpasses knowledge, so you may be filled up with all the fullness of God. Now, verses 18 and 19 actually echo each other, saying the same thing in a poetic way. He wants us to know fully the love and the deity of Adonai through Messiah. He's not praying that we would be Messiah, who's fully God, or that we become gods, but we are empowered when we know the fullness of his deity. Shaul's prayer is that they would know the full width, length, height, and depth of Messiah's love. And we should be there too. When we know the full measure of his love towards us, then we can actually feel the full measure of his love. Yes, we can feel his love, the love of Adonai, even if we don't know the full effects on us. But once we do understand the fullness of his love and his deity, then we can not only recognize it, but fully appreciate the effect that the Ruach and the Messiah has upon each and every one of us. The power that's available, the authority that's available, the abilities to love, to help others, is available because of him being in us. It's like having a rocket in your car that can go 500 miles an hour, but we don't know that. So we're going 60 miles an hour going, woohoo, doing a mile a minute. Look at me speeding. If you don't know that rocket's in your car, you never call upon it. You don't ever have the power that comes from it. You don't know its capabilities. But once you do know, then you can do so much more. You put your foot down and bam, you're going. The same is true in the spirit. Knowing the Ruach and knowing what he's able to do in the fullest. Did you know you have a rocket in your car, in your spirit? And you can go 500 miles an hour. But you have to know it's there, and you have to call upon it. Now the next is circumcised. And I believe that the usage of the image of being circumcised here is more important and should carry more weight than most people put upon it. We know that in the physical, it's only the males who could be circumcised. But Shaul says that it's not the physical circumcision that he speaks of here, but the heart, which both men and women have. And that both men and women should have that circumcised heart. It evens out men and women. It doesn't make them the same, but it evens them out. Deuteronomy also tells us what will happen when our hearts are circumcised. Deuteronomy 30, verse 5 and 6. Adonai your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, and you will possess it. And he will do a good and multiply you more than your fathers. Also, Adonai your God will circumcise your hearts and the heart of your descendants, to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live life fullest. Circumcision is the stripping away of the layer of skin that represents the sin that was upon us. And now that hand of Adonai has cut it away from us. We're no longer to think or believe of ourselves as sinful. The circumcision of our hearts, or the cleansing that it does, not only allows us into his presence because of our faith and cleansing, but should be seen in our actions, which others can see. And you will know them by them. This is the part that you're witnesses to the world. They should see a circumcised heart in each and every one of us. Then we have trusting. We are called to be people who trust him. Not just because he said so, but because of what his witness is to us. Just as others will trust you after hearing your words and seeing your actions as your witness, so we also trust Adonai because of his words and actions as his witness towards us and to his people throughout Scripture and throughout history. When people look at us, we're not only to be someone that they can trust to do what we say, but proof that Adonai will do what he says. The way we talk in life should be our witness of who he is and what he'll do, not just for us, but for them as well. It's not just the sharing of the good news. It's not just in the telling of what he's done in our lives so far, but it's also telling of what we believe he will do in our lives and the world. Now, next, we're told that we are alive with him. We're alive with him. Rav Shaul encourages the Colossians and us that we are alive in him. That we walk together with him with the Ruach HaKodesh in our hearts. That means that the Spirit within, he is with us all the time. That's great when we're living the way we're supposed to be living, right? Power is with us. He is with us. But what happens when we fall short? He is with us then too. We may quench him. We may sadden him. But for those times that the sin is unintentional, there's blood that will cleanse us when we realize it, repent of it, turn away from it, turn back towards him, walk to him. We're still alive with him. We're to be fully conscious of his presence and desires of our lives. And we should, this should affect how we walk with him, regardless of being seen by others or only by Adonai, or even when you think you're not being seen by anyone. His presence is still with you. He still sees you. Walk that way. We also walk with the knowledge of being a pardoned person. And that should also affect the way we walk and the way we see others. How? Because the knowledge of being pardoned of our past sins, we should be able to release those sins so that Satan can no longer pull the string and make us feel guilty and condemned by those sins. They're released. Don't keep holding on to them. They're released. They're not part of you. You don't have to be ashamed of them anymore. You don't have to be condemned by them. That's a trick of Satan trying to make you feel that way. That's not Adonai. We were pardoned from sins that we know should have caused our eternal punishment. Punishment not because Adonai's harsh, but because there's a price to be paid for sin. But Yeshua has paid the price for the sin, and therefore we are pardoned. That should be something that we can share with others, the ability to forgive and to pardon them from their actions, just as we've been. Shaul also tells us in Colossians that Satan and the spirits of the world have been disarmed. That's a reason to rejoice, to be emboldened. In our walk with Adonai, they're disarmed. It allows us to battle the spirits, but only if we're built up in the spirit and fully clothed in the armor of Adonai. For even though he's disarmed them, they're still dangerous. No doubt about it. The words that demonic spirits speak may not have power when we have the knowledge of who we are in Adonai, but they can fool many people, including some believers. That's why we need to be built up in the Word. built up by our brothers and sisters, by the Messiah, by his words. We come against an enemy that does not have a sword, doesn't have a gun, but do have words and some knowledge of our background. And he knows how to manipulate them, causing us to misstep in our walk with Adonai. We are to be bold, but not to the point of not seeing the tricks of Satan. This is why Peter says in 1 Peter, starting in verse 6, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that he may lift you up at the appropriate time. Cast all your worries on him, for he cares for you. Stay alert, watch out. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, searching for someone to devour. Stand up against him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being laid upon your brothers and sisters throughout the world." We're to be humble in our walk, not to worry excessively, and know that Adonai loves you. We watch out for the lion, but by our faith and by our knowledge that we are not alone in what we're going through, we can and will have victory over Satan and his minion. And this leads us to the final point in Colossians. We are to know that Adonai has triumphed over the enemy. And therefore, when we are teamed up with him, we are also triumphant over the enemy. Even when it may not look like it at the moment, in that season that you're going through, we are still called to know we are triumphant. This is not a fake it till you make it, because he's already had the victory. We also already have the victory over the enemy. Even if you don't see it, it's there. You have it for all eternity. You have to grasp onto that. And we're to walk our lives out that way. We're not to be a woe is me people, but a victorious people. Now, that doesn't mean ignoring the troubles, but acknowledging that they are to be placed at the foot of the throne for our eternal victory, and entering into the plans that Adonai has for us with confidence, walking with our heads held up, our spirits up, our confidence up. We're to be confident based on the words that John wrote in John 1. John 1, the first five verses of John 1, 5. "Everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the one born of him. We know that we love God's children by this, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And the victory that has overcome the world is this, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world, if not the one who believes that Yeshua is Ben Elohim, Yeshua the Son of God? We are called to walk as children of Adonai. And how do we walk as children? By living out and obeying his commandments or instructions found in his word, given to us in Torah and expounded upon in the Brit Hadashah. Our faith is where our victory comes from. Then we will be overcomers of the world, and we will show the world that the walk by our faith in Yeshua is in him, is in his son, Adonai's son Yeshua. We are to walk as Rav Shaul told us to walk. Walk as one who has already received the Messiah. Walk as one who is rooted and built up in him, Walk as one who is thankful for everything that we go through. Walk that he, as he is the fullness of deity, as Yeshua is the fullness of deity, and he set the Ruach HaKodesh to be in our hearts. That means the fullness of deity is within us as well. Walk that way. Walk boldly in him. Walk as a circumcised person. Your hearts have been circumcised, which means that layer of sin has been peeled away. No more should we look down and, you know, condemn ourselves. We've been circumcised through the Messiah. We've been immersed and rose up through the Messiah. We trust in the workings of God that he can do, and therefore we can do. We are alive with him. And because we're alive with him, because we've accepted him, he's pardoned our sins. All of our transgressions have passed away. That there's no more record of them. You can ask God, hey, what about this? It's wiped away. He doesn't see it anymore. What are you talking about? And he's disarmed the powers and principalities of the air so that he is triumphed and we're triumphed. We are people who have victory already. We need to walk as people who have the victory. Father, we thank you for the victory that you've given us through Messiah Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh. We thank you that you've given us your word, which tells us be rooted and built up in you, to trust you, to live together with you. And through that, we'll have the knowledge that we're pardoned from our sins. And we'll be thankful for all things, regardless of the season we're in, because we know this is just a season. We know the pains that we feel are just for a season. Whether you heal us now or you heal us at the end of times, the eternity that comes after that makes all this look like nothing. So we thank you that you've healed us. We thank you for your presence through the Ruach. We thank you. Your plan is perfect for us in every way. Ruach, help us to walk boldly as you have told us to do through your word. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Do you believe your